had the opportunity to do so this morning. Always want to be thankful for the opportunity to present the Word of God, to have the opportunity to help further the kingdom of God and to be here to uplift one another. One thing that I try to make sure I point out as we extend the invitation each time we gather together, or as I present a lesson in any form of point, is that making the point known that whatever is taught is not the Brandon Hathaway doctrine. It is not my teaching. It's not my invitation. It's not my kingdom that I'm trying to get people to join my club, but rather the Lord's, God's. And we see this again in John chapter 17 and verse 6. John chapter 7, verse 16. It brings out here Jesus speaking here in John chapter 7, verse 16. It says, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Even the Lord made this clear as he taught upon this earth, as he went forth to teach others, and as he continued to set the example for all of us, for everyone who would live after him, that those who were he was teaching then is to accept the will of God, to do all things in his name, continue to put God first and look to him for our guidance. And so that's what I want to talk about this evening, is that Jesus pointed out here that my doctrine is not mine. And if Jesus is able to say that, we can certainly say that ourselves, that it should not be our teaching. Because after all, we should be following in the footsteps of Christ. If we could go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 and look there, that we are to follow in his footsteps. Teaching is not mine. So, in all the lessons that continue to be brought out, and though, I've heard it said, and I've probably said it myself, maybe sometimes the sermons we go point out to preachers, well, this ain't necessarily a sermon that I came up on my own, because we heard someone else preaching, thought it was a great idea, and we take what they had, maybe tweak it a little bit, and make it our own. But everything that anyone teaches is something that should come from the Bible, should come from the Word of God. So therefore, all the things that we teach is nothing new, because as the wise man said, there's nothing. So my teaching is not my own. So when we think about that point, we have to come to an understanding. We have to come to that point and mindset of getting out of our own way. That we are no longer going to look for what I want. When we are opening up the Bibles and we are searching the Scriptures to see what is right and what is wrong, what is thou shalt do and thou shalt not do. And when we're doing that, we can't have the mindset of looking for, this is what I want to do, so I'm finding the Scriptures to say this is okay. So many can get caught up in losing the direction if we start our study and our mind with our mindset already be clear that we are going to find something that says we can do what we want. We are starting our study in the book of Judges, and this is a saying that we'll find a couple times throughout the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. Judges chapter 21 and in verse 25. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Everyone was doing what was right in their own mindset. What they thought was good to do is what they did. They thought it was okay to divorce, so they divorced. They thought it was okay to be drunk, so they got drunk. It was okay to worship idols, so they worshiped idols. As they saw this was good, they did it. It's what they wanted to do, and so therefore they declared it to be good, and so therefore they went along with it. They did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't continue to go down the law of Moses. They didn't have a good leader. As we've already pointed out, as we ended Joshua this morning, began into Judges this morning, that as long as they have a good leader, someone to look to, someone to guide them, someone to push them, then they often continue to go down the right path. But what happens is when someone eventually dies, because everybody will eventually taste death, No one stepped up to fulfill the position to lead. When that happened, everybody went back to their own way. We cannot follow in the same example. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. If you turn along with me there and read. As I hear Paul warning Timothy. Paul warning Timothy himself. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Here, they have itching ears. They want to be told that it's okay to lie. They want to be told that it's okay to live in homosexuality life, to live in any kind of sexual morality life. They want to be told that they can dress however they want to dress. And so they seek out teachers that will say something. They want to do what is right in their own eyes. And of course, they want to be told that they're going to go to heaven no matter what they're doing. But there is no consequences for their actions. And so therefore, they continue to do what is right in their own mindset. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 21, and in verse 2. Turn along with me there. As it reads here, it says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." What's the reason for you wanting to do this? What's the reason that you claim that this is okay? Is it because you truly desire to obey God, to find the right path, to go forth and do as He pleases? Again, we start off our study searching the Scriptures with a mindset of what you want to find. You have a pretty good chance of finding something in the Scriptures that you can take out of context and say, "Looky here, it's in the Bible, it must be okay." Someone wants to teach about homosexuality or teach about sexual morality and find a way to say it's okay. You know, we can go study David and Bathsheba and see that David is a man after God's own heart. David committed adultery. If you don't read the rest of the story and find out that he gets punished for his crime, punished for what he has done, loses a son for what he has done, you can teach that by studying the story of David. You're taking that out of context. You can find things in the Scripture. Again, we can find stuff in the Scripture that tells us, because it's true, that we are saved by grace and that we are saved by faith. But if you don't search the rest of the Scriptures and go to James chapter 2 and study and see that faith without works is dead, then again, you get caught up in error because you're going to go down your own way, what you want to do. It's easy to get caught up. If you want to, you can search the Scriptures and take things out of context. Just as Satan did with Eve at the very beginning. Taking God's words, twisting them a little bit, saying it's not really going to happen. That's not exactly what God meant. And then we get caught up in it. When we open up the Bible and we search the Scriptures, we have to start off by denying ourselves. You cannot go in there in mindset of I'm looking to prove myself right, but rather we go in the mindset of I will accept whatever God tells me to do. I want to know if this is right. I want to know if this is wrong. I want to know maybe if it really doesn't matter. It's okay to do. It doesn't put me in a good place or a bad place necessarily. There's nothing in the Scripture that really contradicts. We have to be willing to deny ourselves. Because sometimes as we search the Scriptures, and we may truly believe something is correct and right and good, and something maybe we've heard taught time and again by a brother in Christ. Then all of a sudden you search the Scriptures yourself, and you find that passage that says that it has been wrong all these years. That if you have the right heart and the right mindset, then you have to be willing to say, "I've been wrong." We have to be willing to deny ourselves. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 23, Luke chapter 9, come on. And in verse 23, it says here, and he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man? He gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and of the Holy Man. Friends out here, what are you doing?
In order to lose your soul,
what is it that you so desire that you're seeking out to find that one thing that makes it sound like it's going to be okay? Saying, you can't judge me, read this. Work to lose your soul to eternal life of torment.
No.
We want to get to heaven. We want to be disciples of Christ. And we must deny ourselves. We have to be willing to put our desires on the back burner. And when we see the will of God and it completely goes against what we want, what our desires are, and we have to be willing to change our desires to His will, what He wants. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. It brings out here, and He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. He says He died so that we no longer live for yourself. We live to do His will, to follow in the footsteps of Christ. He died so that we have the opportunity to make that choice. Because before His sacrifice, we didn't have a choice. It doesn't matter how much good you did. It doesn't matter how righteous you tried to be. Without His sacrifice, there's only one way and one way only: eternal life. With His sacrifice, you have that option. You have the choice to make. As we, once again, we studied it this morning in the adult class. Joshua telling the children of Israel to choose for themselves whom they will serve. You're not making the choice between the Amorites and the Egyptians and their ways and their gods. You have the choice of your desires, the choice of modesty, sexual morality, of money, of coveting other people's stuff, of choosing to follow God, choosing to be holy and righteous, to do the will of the Lord, to put these things behind you. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, Galatians chapter 2, and in verse 20, you read along with me here as it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives inside. It is His will that continues to flow through. It is His light that I continue to shine. It is His words that I continue to teach. His love that we share. His kindness, His mercy, His grace. We take all that He has blessed us with and share that love and love. It is Christ living through us. When we search the Scriptures, we have to be ready to deny ourselves. We have to be ready to put these things behind. And as we do that, be ready to accept the will of God. We have to be willing to accept God's will again. Jesus sets that example. As Jesus prayed in the garden, and He understood what was about to take place, He was tired, and He was ready to go through this torment, but yet he knew how bad it's going to be. He prayed to God, saying, let this cup pass by me. Let this torment not take place. Nevertheless, this had to be done. This had to take place. This was the will of God. Again, we have to be ready to accept His will. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Romans 12, as it tells us there in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, there we're not proving my will. We're not proving what I like to do. We're not proving what I want to do. We are proving the perfect will of God. That's what we need to be able to do. Not to just stand up and defend my faith. We are defending the words of God. Defending His teaching. What He has given to us. We have to be willing to accept His teaching. In all things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 17. As it brings out here, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord. Again, this example here, and we go to the example of Colossians chapter 3, the other one where it reads very similar to verse 19 there, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, melody in your heart, grace in your heart. In Colossians, it goes forth there, verse 17, tells us, and whatever you do in word or deed, you all, in the name of the Lord. Here it tells you to do everything in the name of God. And here in Ephesians, it's telling us there in verse 17, just before that, to not be fooled, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, I don't think there's anything evil about instruments. I enjoy listening to the radio. I believe as we study the Old Testament, David played the harp, and I don't think he used it for wrongful use. We study it and read about angels and using them to blow the trumpet. Instruments in themselves are not evil. When it comes to worshiping our God, teaching and admonishing one another, and what the Word of God is and what the will of the Lord is, by the Scriptures it says we are to be seen. Submitting one another in the fear of God. Again, about the will. Let's turn back to John chapter 7, where we begin the lesson. John chapter 7. Pick back up in verse 16 again, but we're going to read a little further here. John chapter 7, begin there in verse 16. Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Looking to Jesus as the example. He brought out, he says, if you guys know the will of God, you would know. If you guys truly study and understand the law and what Moses had taught and what the Scriptures say, then you would know whether or not I'm teaching on my own authority
according to the will of God.
And it's the same thing for us today. If we look at that point, verse 17, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God, whether I speak of my own. We seek to please God. We seek to do His will. That is our will. That is our desire. That is what we want, is to do things the way God wants us to do them, to be pleasing in His sight in everything we do. You can find that right now. One last passage for this evening in Hebrews chapter 10. Come along with you there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36. Says, for you have need of endurance, bringing out that we need to remain faithful till the end. He who has endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 37 says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the judge shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We endure, but after we have done the will of God, after we have kept His commandments, we may receive His promise. So we don't want to leave without extending the invitation to anyone this evening that if you're here and you know the Lord, you know that He has been patient and long-suffering, waiting for you to obey, to have your sins washed away, hoping that you will do it. Do it tonight. Come forward and be baptized, wash away your sins. You're here and you need prayers of your brothers and sisters. Lean on your brothers and sisters. We encourage that also. Again, that goes along with the will of God, the will of the genuine. It tells us to confess your trespasses. If we can assist you in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.